Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide, and it is my pleasure indeed to take our microphones to Solace House here in New York, and to welcome the Chief Executive Officer of Solace House USA, Rebecca Sked. Rebecca, you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you, Adrian, and thank you for having us on the show.
The timing of this interview, if you want to call it that, actually I don't do interviews, I do chats on this program, but the timing is right because there are fundraising efforts. One of them just finished just about now in San Antonio, Texas. It's a sunrise walk. Tell us about a little bit about what the walk is all about.
Yeah, of course. So the walk is called the Solace Sunrise Walk, and what we do is we start, and most people think we're crazy for this at the time, but we start the walk at 4 in the morning. So as you can imagine, that's pretty much the middle of the night. It's pitch black out, and we start the walk while it's still dark, and we finish just as the sun is rising. So the reason for that is it's a very symbolic event, you know, walking from darkness into light, going from a place of darkness, sun filled and hope. So our intention for the walk is, of course, to fundraise critical funds for Solace House, but also it's to create awareness, bring the community together, fight the fight against suicide, and just, you know, have this event to reinforce the message you are not alone and that there's always hope. You know, the sun always rises after the darkness.
Okay, so now we can go back to the beginning, and long before Solace House opened its doors here in 2015, a guest on our program, John Freeman, who was the founder of Pieta House in Ireland, had a very interesting conversation about their organization, again, Pieta House in Ireland, established to deal with suicide. And the lead-up to suicide, the depression associated with it, and the aloneness which you just, mentioned there. I want to, again, ask you about, before we get on to COVID, which only exasperated, the disease leading to Solace, or is it all right to even categorize the lead up to self harm and suicide as a disease? Is there a better word?
Yeah, I mean, we would refer to it as a mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me just ask you about, I think that most of us would be able to relate to something which is not peculiar to Ireland. It's just that we seem to be particularly bad at recognition that something, in the mental illness field, and particularly even the word suicide in Ireland is something akin to bringing up, you know, hell, and something that we would like to keep as private as possible and engage as few people as possible. That is a tradition there's something about self-harm and suicide that is innate in terms of, you know, the Irish gene. Or is that so? Mm-hmm. Do you find that this is, you know, pretty much the same with every other ethnic?
Yeah, we would see it particularly amongst our Irish community and our Irish clients. And I do believe we've made huge progress, both, you know, here in our community and as a nation in Ireland, to diminish the stigma around suicide, mental health, and actually getting help when you need it. I do think we may have made huge progress, but I do think there's still a lot of work to be done. And what really helps is when, you know, celebrities or GAA stars come out and they share their story, because that really encourages people, you know, to step forward themselves or say, God, if they're having issues, anybody could. So that is definitely helping. But, you know, we'll always get calls from clients and they'll say, you know, will anybody find out my name, or why do I have to give my address? Will they see me coming in? Like, it's definitely still there, but I really firmly believe we've made huge progress with that.
Yeah.
An example of that would be with male clients. You know, when we first started back in 2015, young males would have been a target audience for us because that's where the highest levels of suicide are. So I think when we started, maybe we had one or two male clients. Now 39% of our clientele is male. So we're really proud of that number because it just shows that we have made significant progress, you know, in that category. And that wasn't easy. It took, you know, several years of reinforcing that message that it's okay to get help when you need it. But we're getting there.
Yeah. You are saying male, not male, but you're talking about mostly males as opposed to females, right?
I think a little bit more, yes, but don't get me wrong, we've certainly had females who have kind of relayed concerns around stigma or people finding out that they're a client. Now, of course, that would never happen because we're 100% confidential, but some people need that reassurance.
Mm-hmm. Your organization, Gonzales House, even though it was founded by Joan Freeman and is indeed run pretty much under the banner of Pieta House in Ireland, which, by the way, have, is it 12 or more locations in Ireland, and help 36,000 people, a phenomenal growth and acceptance that help is available, that confidentiality is at the top of the list.
Yes.
But you're operating here in Long Island City, in the New York area, Long Island City, and in Yonkers,
yes,
without the financial help of just about anybody other than, again, your foundation, the leadership, of course. And I should point out that a frequent guest on this program over the years has been Pat McGowan, who is the chairperson. You got Paul O'Brien, Jim Burns, Peter McGuigan, Joyce Nastasi, all of whom indeed tap into their own resources and find money, you know, to run an organization and that without funding from government sources, that's got to be a nightmare in itself, but obviously it's doable. And, to that end, just give us an idea, if you will, of the enormous costs involved with running Solace House here.
Yeah. So we do get about 10 to 15% funded through grants. So that would be between the Irish government. We're part of the Immigrant Support Program. So we do get a grant from them every year. And we do more recently actually get a grant from New York City, which is massively helpful because, you know, we so desperately need it, and we do work with a lot of clients from the city, particularly because we are on the database for NYC Well, which is New York City's mental health mm-hmm. and crisis hotline. So they refer a lot of clients to us. So that being said, you know, raising 85% of your own budget is very, very, very difficult. And we have tremendous support, you know, through the walk. We do a spring ball every year. We have our annual Rockland Golf Classic, and the same people are coming back and supporting us year after year. And we see the majority of that support through the Irish community, and we're blown away by the generosity. Like, sometimes I just can't believe it. And I say this with absolute confidence: without that support from the Irish community, we would not be here. We wouldn't have survived COVID, and we probably would have been gone long before COVID. So it's tremendous, the support that we get from our community.
Come back to that, how the community can has helped, and how, we can spread the word that, yes, the services being offered for free mm-hmm. are indeed something that's in itself is an incredible service. But I want to ask you about those who are, I would imagine that the stages leading up to suicide, and correct me if I'm wrong, starts with actually some degree of depression, which then advances onward. Can you just give us like a starting point as to how somebody, would even recognize themselves if they're on, a devastating path?
Well, there's a couple of different ways of looking at that. So we do work with people who may not have suicidal ideation, they may never have. So we call that our intervention services. So if somebody's depressed, severely, moderately, even mildly, we will work with them, because that's a really important time to, intervene with somebody before they get to a point of wanting to die by suicide. So we do that. We also work with people who disclose, when they initially call us that they are suicidal. And that could have been building up for several years, but it could also be a immediate reaction to a life event. So that could be the death of a loved one at home, the breakdown of a relationship, the loss of a job. So it can really be overnight if a serious life event occurs, and that just, causes a switch to go off. So it can be both, and we do work with both. Some people will call and they say, I'm only feeling a bit anxious. That's no problem. Let's jump in now and resolve it while we can, So, and then the clients who call when they're suicidal, we really see ourselves as the alternative to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. We work with these clients, even though they say they're suicidal, we will work with them. And we're not going to say, oh, no, you need to go to the emergency room. There might be a time when somebody is incredibly high risk and the emergency room is the best place for them. But, 9 times out of 10, we succeed in working with them right there and then. And we have huge success with that. So, we are even getting calls from Mount Sinai, Elmhurst, looking to refer clients to us. So they can't work with them, or they don't have the capacity to work with them, and they're referring to us, you know, we take huge confidence in the services that we provide and how we do intervene when our clients are in crisis, whether that's mild or very, very high risk.
Again, I think that there are very few families who have not been touched by, either within the family or close friends, mm-hmm. been touched by severe depression, attempted suicide, self-harm. Can you generally identify self-harm, and what does that entail?
Yeah, so typically we're going to see self-harm in minors. And the reason for that is self-harm is a form of communication. So if somebody cannot find the words to express their emotions or how they're feeling or the torment that they're going through, they're going to physically show you. So, you know, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen in adults.
Yeah.
Yes, of course it does. But it is dominantly found in minors because they might not be developed enough to, you know how to approach their feelings or who to talk to. And of course, they could be scared to do that as well. So I'm not going to say what's good about self-harm, but what's helpful about self-harm is that you can physically see it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do see it on somebody, particularly a minor, you really should be reaching out to them, checking in on them, asking if they're okay, because there's something that they want to communicate, but they can't find the words to do it.
This is really, when you break it down, I think I've read somewhere along the way one of your mottos where, it's okay actually to be not okay. And in that
yeah.
sense, but I do want to rush to a point, a couple of points that I know are sticky points, but I'm sure you can help us with it. The National Suicide Helpline will, as far as I know anyway, will most likely recommend that you go to an emergency room. For those who are in such distress, in going to emergency room, and I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't, but that's more stress. Because for
yeah.
those who actually go to emergency room, even the thought of going there and perhaps winding up, in a straitjacket or again, maybe being that sense of, you know, you're capturing yourself, you've turned yourself over, you know, to somebody. So you may not be in a position to say, okay, actually I'm feeling better now, let me go home. That is,
mm-hmm.
That is something that's real, frightening, scary.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying that that's, that there's anything dead wrong with that. What we are, and what we'd like to underline, is that the services of Solace House eases the concern and the fear to some degree, anyway. It's an amazing service, and it's something that we can be very, very proud of. But I want to ask you, Rebecca Sked, also about those who may already be in such a state of depression that they've pretty much given up, and perhaps they don't want at this stage of the game to seek help. Does the level of depression is there a point where you are so depressed, or we are so depressed, that we said to hell with it, where this is the way that it is? And if so, and if that is a situation where somebody is too scared to call, how do we wait for them to reach out to us? Is there a procedure, you know, where we can help them perhaps by talking to them? How does that work?
Yeah, my recommendation to somebody who is concerned about somebody else is never assume that somebody else is going to reach out to them. So if you see something, or if you notice somebody's off, or you're worried about somebody, just ask them if they're okay. By asking that question, you could completely turn their life around, because they might think, God, somebody actually cares about me. Whereas they might not have thought that up until that moment. So that's something we always try and encourage. If you see something, you say something, like what they say on the train.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, we make our intake process very straightforward. And what I mean by that is, you know, often we'll get parents calling on behalf of their kids, or we might get a friend calling on behalf of their roommate, partner, you know, on behalf of their partner. And we let a lot of them make the first step for the potentially new client.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, so long as the client wants to engage with us and is in agreement that they'll, you know, attend their sessions, the person calling on their behalf can complete the intake form, because that can be kind of daunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking to a member of the admin team. It's not a clinician initially, you know, for the first intake. So we let the caller do that on their behalf. We get as much information as we can get. If we can't get all of it, that's okay. The clinician will get it at a later point. So all of that can be taken care of by somebody else. So, you know, if the caller is in a really bad state, or if they're too upset to make that first call, somebody else can do it on their behalf. And that does make it a little bit easier. So then their responsibility would be to just show up for that first appointment.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes at first, actually more often than not, that first appointment is the hardest appointment. And I compare it to, you know, you've got this really bad pain in your shoulder, and you spend months, you know, saying, oh, it should be better next week, it's fine, mm-hmm. you know, it'll go away by itself. And then you go to that first session of rehab, and all of a sudden you leave and it's feeling slightly better, and you're like, wow, I actually think that this can work. That's what it's like. So sometimes it just takes that first appointment, you get to know the clinician, you realize that they really care about you, and this service can help you. And that's the motivation they need to keep moving forward and to keep attending their sessions.
Rebecca, my guest friends is Rebecca Sked, Chief Executive Officer of Solace House USA, and primarily you're physically in New York, one in Queens, and that is again. Your Queens office, tell us anyway where they, or they're, Jackson
yeah.
Avenue, that's the one I was looking for.
Yeah, so we are located on the third floor of the New York Irish Center building. It's what we kind of call our headquarters of the two offices, and
yeah.
that's because it's very central. It's one stop from Grand Central on the 7 train. It's accessible for all of Queens and Brooklyn, so it's just perfectly located. And then our other center is on Hyatt Avenue, which is half a block from McLean Avenue. So again, very, very
in Yonkers,
central.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, in Yonkers.
Okay, and just to allay fears too, when if somebody is listening or somebody say, oh my God, you have to go to the New York Irish Center building, it is a separate entrance, it is a private entrance. And so it's the best of both worlds. Funding, the walk, the walks, just bring us through that one. I know that there are a few of them coming up now.
Yeah. So next weekend, we have three venues. We have the Bronx, that starts and finishes in Gaylord Park. We have Queens, that starts and finishes actually in the New York Irish Centre building. And then we also have Rockland, which is taking place in Rockland GAA. So all of the info and how to register is on our website, which is solacehouseusa.org. You can go into the tab that says Get Involved, and you're going to see the Solace Sunrise Walk. So each of the venues are listed there. You click the one that you would like to participate in, and all of the details on the start time, the address, and how to register can be found there.
Also, I'd like to let our listeners know, particularly when we talk about overheads and cost, that a lot of your revenue, a lot of your support does come from people who cannot, for whatever reason, participate in any of those walks, but you have a website, and that regardless of the amount of a check or a donation, there is no minimum. Every dollar counts. And to that end, there are a lot of people, you know, I'm sure, who would feel that, you know, maybe you have to have a lot of money to support this. Actually, no. And it's something that I think goes a long way in helping Solace and Solace House, and also allowing you to expand further reach. There's also, you don't have to be in New York. You don't have to be either in Long Island or Queens or Yonkers, because you do have a tele, what is it called again? It's a
telehealth.
Yes, telehealth system. And so can't make it much easier than that. The work you do and the services, you know, have to be, you know, seen to believe. And you'll get all of that information on the website. I want to thank you for spending time with us. I want to wish you, of course, a lot of best wishes and luck with the fundraisers. This is important, extremely important, and is happening now. Is there a phone number? I know we have. Is there a phone number that you can be reached at, or that somebody can?
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the number, the main line for us is 718-482-0001.
Okay, and again, it is solacehouse.org, right? No?
Solacehouseusa.org.
Okay, solacehouseusa.org. Again, Rebecca Skid, thank you, and we'll see, of course, particularly over the next few weeks, what any of us can do to help out. And again, congratulations on a job extremely well done and ongoing. Regards, indeed.
Thank you so much, Adrian.
Yeah, you know, and our best regards and appreciation to your team, to your board. Good luck.
Thank you.
And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide, the Flannelly Show live in New York.